is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Prescription drugs and heroin addiction can often go hand in hand. Heroin is an opiate, and opiates are often prescribed as painkillers when someone has a medical problem. If a person becomes addicted to pain medicine but no longer has access to a prescription, they can turn to the streets, where a growing number of drug dealers have been selling heroin in pills like OxyContin in La Crosse over the years. A summit was held yesterday at Viterbo University to bring people together to talk about what can be done to prevent heroin and opiate abuse. I talked with Cooley Council on Addictions Executive Director Pat Ruta and Hiawatha Valley Mental Health Counselor Brett Knutson about the issue. I asked Knutson to talk about what distinguishes heroin and opiates.
Heroin, of course, is manufactured, typically found in powder form. People are injecting it, snorting it, smoking it. And the pill form, most popular on the streets in La Crosse right now, is OxyContin. People, again, with that pill are simply taking it in pill form. They're also crushing it and smoking it. They're diluting it, taking it in many different ways.
And OxyContin is a drug that, I mean, people can be prescribed for a variety of reasons.
Right. That's what I was going to say. Probably the biggest difference is kind of that perceived notion that oxycodone, because it's a prescription drug prescribed by the medical profession, would be okay. I think there's a perception out there that it's not so bad. It's a prescription drug. But what happens is people start maybe even with good intentions in that they're using it for a pain relief, maybe an injury or something like that, and then then they begin misusing it or abusing it, so to speak, and then that whole process starts where then they need more oxycodone, the body needs more, so then they end up maybe going to the street or other types of ways to get that prescription drug. And then heroin, actually, how that really enters the picture is it is a obviously illegal substance, but it is cheaper. It's less expensive on the street than some of the oxycodone tabs, and so as a result, people might transition to that heroin use, which, again, that's very concerning for us because the use of heroin, you don't know how pure a form you're getting, hence you are seeing the deaths related to this.
That's what I've heard, is that when someone does overdose on heroin, it's because, like you said, they don't know how much they're taking.
The problem with it, too, is that the tolerance builds so quickly.
With heroin?
With heroin, but then it also falls off. So people who can, like, say they've been used to a certain amount that they've been using on a daily basis, say if they get caught and they get incarcerated for a week or some period of time, they come out and they feel that they can continue to use the same amount that they used when they went in, not knowing that biologically their tolerance has dropped. And then they find themselves overdosing.
Are there other prescription drugs similar to OxyContin, oxycodone, that you are concerned about?
Hydrocodone, which would be another form of that opiate, is another substance that is of concern. I think, though, in our area, maybe oxycodone is probably the most abused, but any of the drugs in that family of opiates, there would be concern, because if they start using that even for, like I mentioned earlier, for a very legitimate reason, it can be habit-forming.
Why is it so habit-forming?
Mostly it's habit-forming because of the biological side of it. Opiates are naturally produced in our brains. The tolerance builds so quick with it. That's why most doctors are quite careful as to what they prescribe, the doses that they prescribe, and the length of time that they're prescribed. As Pat was saying, a lot of times people who've been in accidents or suffered a significant trauma are prescribed these very powerful opiates to help with the pain management throughout the process of trying to heal that ailment. They become addicted to it. It becomes very habit-forming very, very fast. Again, it's just a matter of how it plays out biologically in our brains.
And Brett, when you talk and when you work with people who are addicted to opiates, What is the main reason that they can't seem to get themselves off of it?
Again, the addiction. The addiction process with opiates is so profoundly different than any other drug on the street. The physical tolerance to this drug is enormous. And again, it happens after as early as first dosage. The withdrawal symptoms, once people are quote-unquote hooked on it, are so powerful that people are afraid of withdrawing. I've had clients who have tried several times to get clean, but the fear of going through that pain is what keeps them going back to it.
The other thing that I think is worth noting is some other drugs like alcohol, which is considered a drug, if a person were to go into withdrawal, they can actually be hospitalized, and there's a medical protocol to help people through that withdrawal of alcohol. And actually, insurance companies and will pay for that medical detox. But the thing that we're facing with the opiates is that there really isn't a medical protocol. I mean, you will get extremely ill, like Brett mentions, and that is a deterrent for people thinking about getting off the substance. But you're not going to have insurance paying for a medical detox. So that's definitely a deterrent. But I think the other thing that maybe we could mention here is nationally, and then within our state, and then down to local, the prescription drug abuse has become an epidemic in our country. And a lot of it has to do with that notion that, oh, it's not that bad. It's prescription drug. And people are, I mean, they see ads on television. They hear, you know, oh, yeah, you just get that. If you have an ache or a pain, you get this. I mean, that's the notion, I think, that's out there. And that's kind of the notion that we're actually relaying to our children. And so as a result, I think that's why we're seeing this epidemic really across the country.
And is it because there are so many pills available on the black market, or are doctors being loose with their prescriptions that they're writing? I'm sure it's a number of reasons, but...
Yeah, I think it could be a number of reasons. Specifically with, you know, you can't really pinpoint it on any one of those items you just mentioned. The influx of heroin, specifically in the La Crosse community, has been significant over the past year to year and a half, and it is only getting worse. More and more people are overdosing. More and more people are being busted for it by the police, local law enforcement. More and more people who are younger are being found doing this. I've had clients as young as 12 who are affected by opiate addiction. So it is a significant problem in the La Crosse area specifically, and I think it's something that needs to be addressed. With heroin, the availability of it is something I've had kids that have said that the availability of heroin in this town right now, it's more available in this area than it is in larger metro areas like Milwaukee or Madison.
Why is that?
I wish I knew.
Probably there's money to be made. Yeah. I mean, if you really want to be honest about it, okay, we're in a kind of a thoroughfare between Chicago and Minneapolis, and we're a city that if a dealer would come here, they probably can get a little bit more money for their product than if they were in inner city Chicago. And so as a result, I believe, and, you know, I've heard other people, you know, expressing that same opinion, that money drives business.
Is there a way to quantify heroin usage within the La Crosse area? Or we just know that there is more available?
Well, there are a lot of different ways. What you do is you look at the environment. You look at, like Brett mentioned earlier, the arrests that are related to heroin. They're either overdoses or they're arrests for delivery, whatever. So you look at that. Another place that you might want to look at is the AIDS Resource Center, because they have a needle exchange program, and how many people are actually using that program. I mean, obviously it's confidential, names would not be released, et cetera, et cetera. But you look at your environment. environment. You see what's happening in the environment. You talk to your medical examiner. Your medical examiner says that since the beginning of the year, there have been multiple drug overdoses.
I think three relating to heroin. I believe.
Heroin, but then there's a combination of prescription drug and alcohol, too. And then also, if you talk with the medical examiner, he probably talks about things like now when they do a death investigation on suicide, they're also looking to see what kind of substances were in that body at time of death. And so all of those environmental factors help you get a little bit better picture of what is happening in our community. And that's kind of what we have to do in order to move forward and try to figure out how do we work on this situation and who needs to be at the table in order to solve the problem.
And I guess it comes down to the chicken or the egg question. Is law enforcement just catching more people, or are people actually using it more in the Coulee region?
Law enforcement are doing their job, you know, and they are really working hard to stop the drug trafficking in our community because they know with that goes a lot of other criminal type activity. Okay, so, but they cannot do that alone. Law enforcement will not be the total answer to stopping the drug flow in our community. It's really going to be the work of many, many people. It's going to be the work of the medical profession. It's going to be the work of community organized people who care about the community that they live in and say, you know what, we don't want that for our inner city. We don't want that for our whole community because with that drug use, we see, well, deaths, which and of young people who have a huge future ahead of them. So it's not just that the loss of life is unbelievable and very concerning. But there's also the other aspects that go along with that use. Again, the criminality and how many, you know, how many people can you lock up? Let's just put it that way.
You're listening to Newsmakers. My guests today are Pat Ruta, she's the executive director of Coulee Council on Addiction, and Brett Knutson. He's a mental health and chemical health counselor with the Hiawatha Valley Mental Health. You were just talking about how it takes the community to come together to fight this. What can the community do? I mean, we have drug counselors, you know, you have friends that could maybe intervene if someone does have an addiction. But what can just the average person do about heroin and prescription drug abuse?
Once people accept and acknowledge that it's here, and it is an issue, this is a drug, or this, you know, between the pill form opiate, you know, the prescribed pills, and powder heroin, it's a drug that knows no socioeconomic bounds. It doesn't discriminate. It affects everybody, from the super wealthy to the super poor, everything in between. So I think, number one, just acknowledging that it's here. From there, I think you start with education, and you start at a very young age. Last week I was with my supervisor speaking at a school in Minnesota, speaking to a group of sixth graders, and we asked, in general terms, you know, how many of you kids have seen, heard, or have knowledge of these types of drugs? And over half of the class of sixth graders all raised their hands. Kids are aware of what's out there. You start talking at a very, very early age, in my belief. You start talking at earlier ages accurate information that's non-judgmental, not threatening. Just information of what's there. Kids are going to be exposed to things like this at some point in their life, most likely. And so making sure that they're equipped with the proper knowledge at an early age.
I would add to that, everybody can do something. Older people can clean out their medicine cabinets, and they can get rid of all of the drugs that are in their medicine cabinet that they're not going to use, and they can drop it off at our prescription drug drop-off coming up this Saturday. So everybody could have a stake in it. People can be watchful in their communities, and if they see something that looks to be of concern, they can call their local police department and file notice on that. The other thing is that everybody can get behind the idea that we want a safe environment, we want an area that's, you know, free of crime in our community. And so how do you do that? Well, you give permission to your law enforcement to do the job that they have to do. But besides that, be watchful, mindful, and educated on really what can happen in your community.
And as people who work with people with addictions, the drug treatment courts, what sort of difference do you see that making with an individual who is addicted, you know, versus just going to jail and, you know, throwing away the key?
Well, my perspective would always be that if we can offer people treatment and assistance to really deal with their addiction, that's so much more powerful than the idea of, okay, you did something wrong and so now you're being incarcerated. So to me, of course, the drug treatment doesn't always work, you know, or the drug court doesn't always work. You'll always have the naysayers that say, you know, oh, well, you know, that person did something terribly wrong, and so therefore, you know, they are a danger to society. But the fact of the matter is, so many of the people who struggle with addictions, that's what's driving their criminal activity.
Sure, they didn't necessarily start out as a criminal.
Absolutely not. And so I really see it as a way to at least try, and I've seen some really successful stories coming out of the drug court. People who really had made very, very bad decisions but went on to get their addiction under control. They got the treatment that they needed. They followed through and went on to be great members of society and really living good, productive lives. And that's kind of, you know, well, that's precisely what we all want to see. We understand that addiction can happen. It can happen to anyone. But then how do we deal with it? What do we do to help that person come back and really be and live the quality of life that they could?
So what is the best advice you can give to someone whose family member, friend, coworker, they see that they are struggling with an addiction to heroin or to a prescription drug? What can they do?
I'd say talk to them. You know, just to start with, it's you know, you have to, again, I'm big on the acknowledgement part of it. You know, have that conversation with someone. Tell them what you're seeing. Tell them, number one, that you care. Tell them how that's affecting you. Let them know what you're willing to do to help, whether that's to go with them to a counselor, to help them identify a place of treatment. You know, and I think another misconception in this area is that a great resource that La Crosse has is Chemical Health and Justice Sanctions down at the county building. A lot of people have an idea that you can't go there unless you're in trouble. That's not the case. You can go there and apply for help, and it's a great resource to this community. A lot of people have been helped because of that.
Brett Knudsen is a counselor with Hiawatha Valley Mental Health, and Pat Ruta is executive director of the Cooley Council on Addictions. They joined us to talk about heroin and opiate addiction in the La Crosse area. A summit was held last night at Viterbo University to give the public a chance to learn more about ways to prevent opiate and heroin abuse in the area. You're listening to Newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, I'm Maureen McCollum. Coming up next, La Crosse County continues to look for creative ways to keep waste out of the landfill. During Earth Week, a conversation about reimagining waste in the future. To hear this or other recent editions of Newsmakers, visit our website at wpr.org/lacrosse. We also welcome your comments and ideas. Simply follow the links on our archives page at wpr.org/lacrosse.